and repentance. And if you wanted to define sin in a very simple way, the definition of sin is, it's all about me. It's all about my desire, my plan, my expectation, my need, my job, my future, my security. It's all about me. And in the gospel story, both of the sons react spontaneously. They react differently, but both of them react out of that sense of it's all about me. The first son, when the father asks him to go into the vineyard and to work, what flies out of his mouth immediately is, I will not do it. I will not place myself in a situation where I deny myself in order to take care of your vineyard. The second son is one of those individuals who always wants to please everyone. And so he says yes, 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 yes to everything, and what he really means is no. So the father says to him, you go into the vineyard and you do the work, and spontaneously he says, yes, I'll go. But he has no intention of going. He just wants to make the father feel good. The effect of original sin is such that human beings, you and I, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, still carry within us a flaw, a woundedness, a selfishness by which we view the world through our own eyes. Well, that's what Jesus is challenging in the gospel. And that's what he's challenging the chief priests and the elders about. He recognizes very well the spontaneous response that we so often give. And what he says to those elders and those chief priests is the issue is not how it ends, the issue is not how it begins, the issue is how it ends. Jesus understands human nature well enough to know that there is a spontaneous step forward to see the world through one's own eyes. And yet what he challenges the chief priests and the elders around is that even though tax collectors and prostitutes were able to see beyond that, they were not. The son who said no, upon reflection, ended up going into the vineyard. And that's all the Lord asks. That's all the Lord asks. What is asked of us is that we have a vision that is bigger than ourselves. Within our church's moral teaching, that vision is called the common good. The common good is that social fabric by which individuals and communities are able to achieve, to reach their perfection, their purpose. And that when you and I make a decision, when you and I make a choice, that choice is to be weighed in terms of the common good. The good that involves my good, but also the good of my neighbor, the good of the society, the good of those with whom I work, the good of those in my neighborhood. That I'm not an island. I am knit together and in solidarity with other human beings. Now, in the second reading, Paul very explicitly explicitly tells the Philippians that each of you look not to your own self-interest, but to the interests of others. That's precisely what Jesus is asking in the gospel. And that's precisely what you and I are invited to grow into as we mature in Christian life, in a life of faith, as we mature in Christian moral decision making. Now, during the month of October, I'm going to preach about the common good on a series of Sundays, and particularly how the common good affects the wrestling that you and I are engaged in around choosing national leadership and around understanding the challenges that face us as a people. On the 1st of October, there will be mailed out an envelope to each registered household. And that envelope will contain the parish annual report and a 36-page booklet called Faithful Citizenship, a booklet authored by the Conference of Catholic Bishops. I would encourage you to read both of those things, but particularly read the document on faithful citizenship. It really is a document about the common good. And then on Sunday, the 12th of October, we'll have the opportunity following the 8 o'clock Mass for the parish to gather in the social hall and to have our annual meeting and to reflect on the parish annual report. And the following Sunday, the 19th, we will have an opportunity at 9 o'clock to gather in the social hall in between Masses and to reflect together and to talk together about the common good, about faithful citizenship, about the challenges that are present in each of our decision-making around leadership for our nation. This is serious business, and this is moral business. The exercising of the right to vote is a moral question. And you and I are invited to bring our moral sense, our sense of the common good, in making that decision. Jesus says in the gospel, look beyond yourself. Try to see the world involving other people. Step back from the principle, it's all about me, and embrace the principle, it's all about us. Jesus himself gave us the example. He did not hold on to divinity as something to be exploited, but rather he emptied himself and he took the form of a slave, and he was known to be of human condition, and embraced human life to such an extent that he even embraced death and death upon a cross. And he did all of that for the good of human beings. And for that reason, he has been raised up and is now given a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bend in the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth, and every tongue proclaim, Jesus Christ is Lord.